Welcome everyone to the first in our summer series of classes. Actually, it's going to extend into the fall. So today we're going to be talking about all things Jupiter and Virgo. And this is our first class. And then August 16th, we're going to be having the continuation of the Venus-Mars saga, part two. And that'll be a special webinar with Eric and Tammy, who will be joining us for that, and also a bit of a preview for our October 7th through 11th sacred marriage class. So that should be very exciting and really wonderful that we're getting to do the sacred marriage class with Venus and Mars hanging out together. Then on September 13th, we're going to be exploring the lunar patterns and cycles just in time for the last eclipse in the series of four, the tetrad of blood moons, and so we'll be going into depth on that and looking at how to work with that and be with that and what that's all about. And then on November 1st, we'll be looking at Saturn square Neptune. We'll actually look a little bit at that today because Jupiter's kind of at play with that too, but that's the first exact Saturn square Neptune will be on November 18th and last into 2016, way into 2016. So we'll be looking at what it means personally and collectively. So we're so happy that you've joined us, and will hopefully join us for these other classes, be joining us for that. And then I guess the last thing I should mention is we have the September 20th to 23rd Night Sky Cosmology in Fish Lake Valley, a place that we haven't been to in I haven't been in 10 years. I think the last event was there 9 years ago. So this is very exciting. Is there anything you want to add to any of that, Daniel?
Oh, well, just that whole thing about going back to these sites, like say with Hot Springs and Fish Lake Valley, 9.5 years after we stopped doing events there. And that really relates to the other main thing about September. And that teleclass we're doing regarding that issue. You mentioned about the last of four lunar eclipses, but it's the apex of the lunar standstill season, the inner lunar standstill, and seems to be very much related to our building of that stone circle as well as that site there at Fish Lake Valley. So that's the other thing other than the equinox that we're going to be getting to work with there. And to talk about in the teleclass, but also to work with in person at the petroglyph site in Nevada.
Yeah,
so that was the only other thing.
Right, and you know, I mean, it's actually because when we're looking at Jupiter, we're going to also be including the nodal aspects
yes.
that happen. So even mm-hmm. Jupiter moving into Virgo is kind of connecting to these other things that mm-hmm. we've been talking about. About or will be talking about in future classes, so it's all very interconnected.
I will make one last announcement, which is that we're coming up to the deadline on reserving rooms at the hotel that we've got in Swindon in UK for the Avebury event. So we've got about another 3 days for people who want to jump on board to join us for that Stonehenge Crop Circle. Silvery Hill adventure that we're having, and I'm getting to do with Anya and McAndrew on the 5th through the 12th of August. So really down to the last few days of being able to get some more people to join us for that. Okay, so that's the end of my announcements.
Okay, cool. So shall we jump in?
Yeah. Okay, Jupiter moving into Virgo. We've actually for a good number of years now done a teleclass for the ingress of Jupiter into a different sign. Jupiter is called the year star, meaning that it takes approximately a year to move through the sign. And if we look back on the pattern of Jupiter moving into new signs, it kind of goes back a little bit from year to year. So, I mean, if we look, Jupiter moved into Virgo, for example, September 29th, 1979, then September 11th, 1991, August 27th, 2003, now August 11th, 2015. In 2027, the next time it moves into Virgo, it'll be July 27th, so it just kind of moves back a little bit each time. and then unless a Jupiter goes back into the previous sign or goes forward into the next sign, it's 12, 13 months or so that Jupiter will be moving through a sign. And this particular one we're in now that begins August 11th and ends September 9th, 2016, there's no ingress back or forth into other signs. So it's just one consistent movement of Jupiter through Virgo. Now, Jupiter is the year star, as I mentioned, but in shamanic astrology, what does it represent? What does it symbolize? I always love to use the expression activation of enthusiasm. It's an expanding element. Whatever Jupiter hits, it expands. And so we're looking at Jupiter expanding astrological Virgo. We don't want to make the mistake of thinking that expansion is always, quote, good. We don't fall into the dualistic trap of rating everything as high, low, good, bad, right, wrong. Jupiter is about expansion. Most of the time, that does feel good. I mean, it can be too much, obviously. But what we're looking at here in the symbolism is Jupiter activating Virgo. And if this happens every 12 years, then it's actually placing a spotlight on the mystery school, astrological Virgo. So what is up with Virgo? What do we need to know about with Virgo? Why would the spotlight be on Virgo? What could that all be about? That's what we're speculating on here. So it might be useful to just spend a couple of minutes, and Kaylin, you and I can riff about this, as to what is the nature of astrological Virgo. One thing that I could start with is that the two mystery schools, and most have to do with all the concepts and realities we have around Mother, are related to Cancer and Virgo. All different elements of the imagery of Mother are related to those two signs. But there's a very major distinction between the Cancerian approach and the Virgo approach. Cancer, as Great Mother, is about providing nourishment to children, people, animals, pets. It's a human dimension. It has to do with our families. It has to do with our clan. It has to do with the way the culture is organized. Virgo is Earth Mother herself. So it's a fairly major distinction. You know, one is a human personal dimension, and the other is more a natural nature Gaia. It's just like, so when people talk about Gaia, that's Virgo. I mean, it's the planet Earth as a living being, and our honoring of her cycles, her patterning, the great pattern, the way in which the rocks form, the way in which the patterning of the waves on the ocean, the way the pattern, obviously in our the domain of shamanic astrology, the patterning of the sky, the patterning of sacred landscape. And then when this is related to the human dimension, then it has more to do with the rhythms and cycles of the sacred feminine, like the Moon Lodge, the various seasons and cycles of the feminine material, as it is related to the environment, to the earth, to the body. So that's a starting point as far as our investigation of the expansion of our connection to Virgo. Kaylin, let me turn it over to you.
Well, I just, one of the things I was thinking as you were saying the thing about the difference between the mother, two mother energies is, of course, Cancer is, I'm getting a little feedback for some reason. Just try this here. Okay. So Cancer is water, is feeling, is so that nurturing aspect, and then Virgo is earth. So it has to do with the dimension of Earth and more about how we experience things in the physical body. So I was just the thought that I was having as you were talking.
Well, totally, yeah, that's a very important additional way of understanding their difference. The feeling function has to do with values. It has to do with our connection with other people. It could sometimes be referred to as the mammalian heart. While the earth dimension of Virgo, if we just take a minute to think of the earth dimension, all earth signs, Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus, all have the same project of bringing spirit into matter, the journey of involution from spirit and consciousness into matter, but for three different reasons. Taurus brings spirit into matter in order to enjoy it. Capricorn brings spirit into matter in order to manage it, structure it. And Virgo brings spirit into matter in order to perceive and honor its sacredness. You could say to worship it, actually. Although it's a little dangerous to use that word because we don't want to make it sound like some kind of some older version of a religious ritual. But it's that honoring of the sacred patterning of life. It's one of the key elements of the hermetic as above, so below. I mean, when you look at the Emerald Tablets, only down at about the second or third paragraph, it's after as above, so below, as within, so without. It's the honoring of capital P pattern, the sacred pattern that we find ourselves in, of this one reality. And that's what Virgo is really about. And this element about coming into the earth in a sacred way is called Virgo. And now look how different that is than a lot of the sort of mainstream view of Virgo. You know, it's always about mental as anything. You know, it's about being picky and critical and detail oriented and all of that. That can end up becoming a caricature like that in a somewhat negative and unhealthy way if a person is not connected to the natural world. Virgo is about carbon, not about silicon. So the biggest problem with Virgo is when they're just stuck with a computer, rather than being actually in a garden or, in a natural setting with one's own sacred space. I'll just pause for a second.
Well, I think that's all great, Daniel. And I was looking at something. For some reason, this is getting a lot of feedback. I don't know what's going on. Let me just try to turn this down a little bit. Okay. Okay. I just turned down my volume just for a second so I don't hear the feedback when I'm talking. And so anyway, I was just having a realization that I think will probably be something I'll bring in later as you were talking, because I don't think it really fits in here right now. So that's where I'm at. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah. So if we're going to spend a little more time here just investigating Virgo, remembering that Jupiter moving into Virgo is the expansion of our relationship with Virgo. We're speaking now globally. We're not yet speaking of how this might relate to an individual chart. We'll get to that. So the expansion of the Virgo dimension really has to do with us human beings being able to look at things like what is sacred. It's the planet is a living being. Ability to perceive the actual reality of the patterns that we find ourselves in. I actually consider even though Jupiter has not moved into Virgo quite yet, Jupiter moves into Virgo August 11th, 12th, right in that time. So we're kind of doing this a few weeks in advance. But it seems to me that what the Pope just did the other day, basically not having, humans not having dominion over the earth, but being part of it, I guess we could say animism, the ability to perceive that everything is alive and we're part of the web of creation, is very much a Virgo approach, a Virgo perception of the, of this one reality that we're in. The goddess imagery that we've always used in the school with Virgo would include Vesta or Hestia, the version of the goddess, the version of the sacred feminine that does the ceremonies at the right time. It keeps the fire burning, that, that if they don't do the ceremonies at the right time, everything would fall apart. But with a less than other expressions of the feminine emphasis on one's egoic personal identity, it's more associated with being impersonally in service to that web of life. And let's see, there would also be, well, there's Hestia and Vesta. There would also be, to a certain extent, a connection to Ceres or Demeter, which is that element of the Earth Mother that has to do with, you know, grain and animal husbandry and, you know, the breeding of the animals and the things associated with the bountifulness of the growing Earth. All associated with its Virgo mystery school that, that Jupiter is now going to be expanding and bringing to our attention.
Right. So, oh, I'm still getting feedback. I got to hang on. that's really wild. Okay, so I'm just turning down the volume. I hope you can still hear me, Daniel.
I can.
Okay, good. I just turned down the volume so you can't be heard as well, but there's no feedback. So when we're thinking about Virgo, then too, it's the imagery of Spider Woman who's weaving the web and connecting us into how we experience timing. You know, timing for when to plant and when to harvest and when to do all of those things is another aspect of Virgo. That feels important.
Totally, and it's the element of shamanism, the element of animism that is about the ceremonies themselves rather than maybe a more scorpionic element, which is more like the power that one feels when one is involved in these kinds of practices. So there really is, it isn't so much about, you know, the feeling that you would get from it. It's that ability to participate with the sacred connections between as above, so below, the seasons, the cycles, the interweaving of that web of life that is, of course, always changing. So there's nothing rigid about it. And it actually brings up something I always like to say regarding Virgo. It's always criticized as being like this critical, nitpicky kind of approach, as if it's some relative of Saturn, which can be very, very critical. And my view is that actually that's really not what the motive of Virgo is. It isn't really to be critical. It isn't to be overtly, anally nitpicky. Rather, it's just simply perceiving the pattern as it is, and its job is to maintain the integrity of the pattern. So it notices the pattern as it is in place, which includes the changing. You know, the way the goddess weaves the web is always changing, and it has a pattern, and it's Virgo's sacred duty to be connected to it and to maintain a connection to that pattern. Now, this is, of course, a very specific function. It's not what the average human being out there does. I mean, we could say they depend on the Virgo priestess to be performing that function. And we have to, in a sense, give the Virgo priestess a little bit of latitude. They're not expected to know the human dimension as well. They're translating the sacred patterning of Gaia to the human dimension.
Beautiful, yeah, very important, and there can be also a sense of magic that's connected to that as well when you're really in the flow of the pattern and what's moving and changing, and really being able to honor that and be with it and be present with it can feel very, or have that experience of being magical, keeping things in balance between, you know, like the human world and the rest of the world.
And then in the human dimension, in a more personal way, because we've kind of explored this so far as the overall sense, 1 year out of 12, where the emphasis is on Virgo, is that on an individual chart level, there are going to be those of you that are in Jupiter returns, meaning it would be between age 11 to 12, 23 to 24, 35 to 36, 47 to 48, 59 to 60, 71 to 72, these 12-year junction points where Jupiter returns to its original position, which is like a wave coming in, the wave which is your wave that has to do with your own genius, your own, the thing that you yourself get off on the most, that makes life worth living, that brings that activation and enthusiasm into your life. Now that's sort of, those are the leading edge people. But then, next, we could say any important Virgo placement on your chart. Virgo rising, Venus in Virgo, Mars in Virgo, Sun in Virgo. If you have any of these placements, you know, can I say Virgo in the midheaven? And then Jupiter coming through and activating and expanding those points becomes the leading edge of your life process at this particular time. Particularly if it's a progressive part of the chart. Jupiter hitting your Venus, it only does that every 12 years. Jupiter hitting your rising sign, midheaven, only every 12 years. So there's this wave of expansion as to what your calling or your sacred work is rises high during this time, which brings up something that it might be worth discussing. Virgo is also associated with this concept of, quote, sacred work, which is kind of our euphemism for what is normally thought of as a calling. What is your calling? What is your sacred work? And this is something very much distinct from some sort of career you got that's making good money and raising a family or following in the footsteps of your parents or... I'm not putting any of that down. I mean, that's very much what a lot of people do in a good way. But that's a different category. Right livelihood as a household or profession is a different category than sacred work or a calling. They, of course, could be the same thing. But for some people, if the emphasis, you know, you have Jupiter hitting Venus in Virgo, Jupiter hitting Virgo rising, Jupiter on the midheaven in Virgo, this may be the wave coming in for you to commit to your calling, your sacred work. So that the number one question would be, what is your calling? Not how much money you're making or, you know, how you, you know, what, you know, how much security you have or anything like that. Or doing what your parents did. But what is your calling?
And if you know, it may be that you have a sense of what your calling is and you maybe you're already working in alignment with that, but then this expands that calling, expands that sense of it. Maybe new opportunities or new things come in that are expanding you into another level or octave of what your calling is. And so if you don't know what the calling is, then this is the time to really be focusing on that piece and that question and seeing what comes through, because oftentimes things will come in, that opportunities come in and things come in. But then the other piece is if you're already aligned with it, then what's being expanded in that?
Yes. Now, lest this conversation make it sound like this Jupiter transit expansive force through Virgo is, quote, all good in that sort of dualistic thing I was describing. Saturn bad, Jupiter good, something like that. I have to admit that, particularly in the last couple of months, and this is Jupiter moving through Leo now, but certainly will happen through Virgo also, is that if there is something on your natal chart that Jupiter something very challenging in late Leo or early Virgo, like Pluto there, or Saturn there, or a certain particularly a challenging portion of your own script, Jupiter hitting that point expands your experience of that challenge. So that's a very important thing to add to this. So it's like if you have like Pluto somewhere, you know, like late Leo, early Virgo, and Pluto, Jupiter hitting it is expanding your relationship with your deepest fears. Now, I have to be very clear, that doesn't necessarily mean that a Plutonian event will happen, because it won't be a Pluto cycle. It's just an expansion over Pluto complexes. So you might have to face your deepest fears in a much deeper way when Jupiter hits that point. But it is, of course, idealistically speaking, the time to break through those fears that have overwhelmed you, let's say, up to a certain point.
And as somebody who has Jupiter and Pluto conjunct in Leo on my midheaven, so I've lived with this my whole life, and so I have that going on right now. In fact, today Jupiter is exact on my midheaven and my Jupiter. And so, but what I have found is interestingly is that because I have been working with this over time, and one of my deepest fears, biggest fears, is has been being seen and visible and talking in front of people. And I've been working on that for a long time, doing it with in little pieces, you know, just getting more comfortable with being able to do that. And so even though I may still get nervous or I have challenges, it is nothing compared to what it was years ago, where I would actually feel like I was going to pass out from fear. I was so panicked, you know, like having such a panic attack. So so that's just one example of how that might show up. And if you've been working with those fears, if you've been dealing with them and stepping into them all along, then this can be a great time that just helps you to feel more empowered with stepping into not being at the effect of that fear so much, but being more in charge of that energy.
Yeah, and if it's something Plutonian or something associated, let's say, with something like Scorpio, then it's as if every 12 years you get an additional opportunity to face those fears at a deeper level. So that it becomes an empowerment rather than something that blocks the radiance. In this case, we're talking about Leo. But what if we project this now down to Virgo? Let's say an individual has a great amount of fear about really committing to their calling, you know, so they're choosing to do other things for the sake of security, for the sake of their peers, for the sake of their family, whatever it might be. Well, the Jupiter transit is going to actually give the opportunity to finally align with what is really your mission and purpose statement as far as contribution and your connection to, in service to spirit, what your contribution on the planet would be. It's an opportunity to expand into that authenticity if that happens to be what your leading edge is. Which brings up an interesting point, which is not always understood by everyone. In shamanic astrology, we place Virgo in a category called in service to spirit, one of the four mystery schools, four signs that is in that category. What does this actually mean? Well, it's within what we've been discussing here that we can see the distinction between in service to spirit and something that's more householder or culture bearer. Somebody could get a job in honoring Cancer or Capricorn, and the main issue there is the practicality of it. Does it get results? Does it produce the responsibility for the children, for the husband, for the wife, for the family? That's a householder profession. But if it's Virgo in service to spirit, you're actually taking direction from something else. Spirit, your in alignment with spirit. And what I mean by spirit, one of the best known definitions of spirit, and this is something that several writers and about shamanism have brought this up, whether it's Martine Brechtel, whether it's David Abram, that basically they're always speaking about how what spirit is anything that is not human. And so it's the patterning of the plants, it's the patterning of the stars, it's the essences of the animals, and everything that is in fact not human, that is spirit. Okay, so Virgo is in alignment with that first and foremost. Okay, and that's where Virgo takes its direction from. Then the goal would be is to have that aligned with something that's making a contribution to the planet first, Mother Earth first, and the sustainability of the planet, the patternings and cycles of the planet, and then how that can make a contribution to the human kingdoms, like the individuals who do the ceremonies in the tribe, the individuals that are the midwives, the individuals who are the ones that are connected to the women's mysteries, and things we mentioned before. Great.
Beautiful. So, do we want... go ahead, Daniel, because I was just going to ask if we wanted to move on to some of the things that are happening within this cycle.
Yes, I think so. That's okay. What we should go next. And okay. The remarkable things taking place with this Jupiter transit. You want to get started?
Well, I want to throw something that that's going to kind of link back to 1967 to also to right now, that just occurred to me, and we haven't talked about this, Daniel, but I have a feeling this is an important piece, so I think would this be a good time to just toss this in here?
Well, yeah, because part of our conversation today was going to be about the great importance of the link back to the Jupiter transit through Virgo 67, 68, 69. Absolutely.
Well, something you said, and I don't remember exactly what the words were that you said, but it just tuned me into the Venus cycle. And so, of course, I went back and looked in 1967, and... we're about to start a new Venus cycle that's going to happen on August 22nd. It will be in Leo. But in 1967, Venus rose as a morning star in Virgo just prior to Jupiter going into Virgo. And so it seems like there was this Venus overtone in Virgo connected to Jupiter in Virgo. And here we are having, now it's in Leo, but you know, but it's still the same cycle of Venus connecting in, and Jupiter coming back to be, well, it's currently in Leo, about to soon be in Virgo, and it seems like there's this connection. It's that 48, something having to do with that 48 year, 47 to 48
year. Oh my God, it's so great that you noticed that. in doing the research on this for this call, there's so many other factors that link this. This Jupiter ingress into Virgo back to that time period from 67, 68, 69. But for you to discover that, because that means Jupiter entered into Virgo October 19th, 1967, and that was just very close to the rising of Venus's morning star in that overtone. And for those who are following the synodic cycle material, correlation between Jupiter and Venus like this is not going to happen every time there's a Jupiter return or every time there's a Venus return. You have to have an 8 and a 12 that correspond. And so this was 47, 48 years ago when this was taking place.
Yeah, right. So, and that would be like 24 twice, right? So, you know, at 24, Venus and Jupiter kind of return together. And then at 48, because Jupiter... returns more, it's usually closer to 47, but, you know, and 48. But the Venus cycle can start, is a whole year and a half cycle, so
right.
So they will overlap and connect with one another. Anyway, I just got this huge rush.
Oh, it's fabulous, yeah. And then, so the other kinds of things that connect us back to that time are that it has to do with Chiron. Where Chiron, from, I said the dates here, Chiron is in Pisces. from April 1960 until February 1969. The next time Chiron is in Pisces is from May 2010 until February 2019. And so why am I bringing Chiron in? Well, it is one of the symbols that has helped people understand the nature of the 60s. Many say that we're now at the higher octave of that. The Uranus-Pluto material would say that too. We'll get to that in a minute. But we also know that the reason I'm bringing this in now is because as Jupiter is moving through Virgo, it will be forming this, once again, a particular type of relationship with Chiron in its opposite resonant polarity. So I think, it's a triple conjunction, right?
Yeah, triple opposition.
Mm-hmm. triple point on the same degree, yes. Uh-huh.
Right. Do we want to give people what the dates are for that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, November 3rd, 2015 will be the first time they're opposite each other, and that's going to happen around 17 Virgo and 17 Pisces. So, of course, Jupiter's in Virgo and Chiron's in Pisces. And then on February 23rd, 2016, Jupiter will be retrograde at 20 Virgo. And because the first one, Jupiter is direct and Chiron is retrograde. And the second one, Jupiter is retrograde and Chiron is direct at 20 Pisces. And then the third one, August 12th of 2016, Jupiter is direct and Chiron is retrograde at 24 Virgo and 24 Pisces.
Nice. Great. An additional theme to throw in is the remarkable connection between where Jupiter was with the nodal axis back in the 60s one and the one now. So there's actually three times in this Jupiter transit through Virgo where it will be exactly conjunct the North Node. Back in the time period we're talking about, 67, 68, 69, the connection was with the South Node. Now this is really intriguing. We mentioned at the top of the hour, at the top of the call, that the lunar standstill cycle, this whole intriguing thing regarding the lunar orbit, that 1967, 68 was one of the times. It was in fact the time when people finally realized there was a lunar standstill. That's when actually the whole expression lunar standstill was invented in 1968 by Alexander Thom at that particular point. So that was an extreme point in the lunar cycle, 67, 68, and it was highlighted by Jupiter on the South Node at that point. And now we have it on the North Node coming up. Do you want to give the dates on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one will be January 23rd of 2016, and that'll happen at 22, almost 23 Virgo. And then January 28th, 2016, that's only a couple of days later. So the nodes are shifting direction. Must be what's going on there. And then June 20th is the last one, and that's at 15, almost 16 degrees Virgo. So that's right at the solstice, by the way, June 20th. And the other thing just to keep in mind is that the nodes, that is a 19-year cycle. And then Jupiter's a 12-year cycle, so for them to actually come together in this way, and as Daniel was saying, it was in 67, 68, it was the opposite point, so we were in the opposite lunar process. You know, there's the lunar outer standstill and the inner standstill, so at that time it was the outer standstill, this time it's the inner standstill, and the nodes are reversed, but it takes a long time for them to come back together when you're looking at 12 years and 19 years recalibrating to come together. So this is a very rare configuration that's happening.
And now it's Jupiter on the North Node, which is very much, in my mind, is compelling, urging that what got seeded actually back in those years actually takes form which is a re-sacredness, sacralization of making the earth sacred again, which is the main theme of this. So back in the those years, for those that are as old as me or older, will remember that there's an element of those years which was back to nature, you know, back to the land. And at that time period, there was a tremendous resurgence and interest in Native American ways, indigenous ways. It sort of retreated into the background during the excesses of the 70s and 80s, but now it's back, you know. So this is Jupiter moving through Virgo to me is celebrating that again. And that, of course, brings us to another feature that is central to this movement of Jupiter through Virgo, that again takes us back to the time in the 60s, which is the Uranus-Pluto configuration. Because it turns out that Jupiter was actually moving back and forth through Virgo from October 19th, 1967 to July 15, 1969. A very rare ingress because it went back into the previous sign and forward into the next sign, so that we had almost a two-year time period of Jupiter being able to be back and forth in Virgo. Well, during that time, it also turns out that Jupiter was conjuncting the number one astrological symbol of that time, which was the Uranus-Pluto square. The Uranus-Pluto conjunction.
Right.
Uranus-Pluto conjunct in Virgo. So many authors have commented on this, that the current, just finishing up the exact Uranus-Pluto square, the seven exact Uranus-Pluto squares, we're still in the zone. I mean, we've indicated that on other calls, but we're in a long time frame of Uranus square Pluto. But it's like a referendum on the seeds that went down in 67, 68, 69. It's like crisis, the way Richard put it, it's crisis in action regarding those seeds. Do we take them seriously or not? What I would say is that they have to be taken seriously, because if we don't treat the earth as something sacred, then unfortunately what happens is that we end up being what the scientist Dyson said, which is that, we're...
Uh-oh, I just lost Daniel. I'm going to call him back. I don't know what the scientist Dyson said, so we'll just have to get him back for him to finish that piece up. Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, so you were talking about what the scientist Dyson said, and then you cut out, so we need to hear that piece.
Oh, yeah, we're very close to becoming what he thinks is really a good thing, to becoming a monospecies. You know, that basically the only species that will be left is humans, and that's okay. You know, so the fact that the other animals die off, and, you know, the basically it's like he calls it post-Darwinian evolution, where the only thing that's left is human.
That doesn't sound like a world I want to live in.
Me neither. I mean, I'll fight tooth and nail to make sure that doesn't happen. But my point being that's the referendum on the seats that went down then. That Jupiter going through Virgo is like showing, bringing it up right in our face, that we have to have the sacredness of the earth, and that the more traditional indigenous ways on this planet, where human beings are part of the fabric, not having control and dominion over it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay, so.
Yeah,
there's,
beautiful.
Now the reason, so that was a little bit of a commentary there, but this turns out, though, that this Jupiter ingress through Virgo will have to go back for a minute to the 60s, that there was a triple conjunction during that time of Jupiter with Uranus in Virgo. Well, Jupiter is going to act at the same degrees during this ingress as that powerful conjunction that happened back then. That was the thing I wanted to speak to.
something else to also just throw in there too is that not only was Jupiter transiting the South Node during that time, but so was Uranus and Chiron and Pluto. All of them were at different points along the way between 67 and 69, going across the South Node. So just, you know, for whatever that's worth.
Really important. Thank you for bringing that in. Absolutely. It was just adding even more power to the purpose of this particular Jupiter transit through Virgo. Now, there's some other things happening with this that maybe, shall we make available to those who signed up to this for the handout that you have here regarding the the Jupiter event?
Yeah. The dates, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I can just forward that email, or you can forward it to Eric, and he can send it to everybody.
Several times over the year that Jupiter is moving through Virgo, several times Jupiter will square Saturn. And so that's in the drama also. We also have several times that Jupiter and Virgo will be opposite Neptune. And Kaylin, you brought that up earlier, that one of the great themes coming up in late part of this year in 2016 is the relationship between Saturn and Neptune. Well, Jupiter does have a relationship with that square several times. If you might want to speak to when those times are, Kaylin?
Sure. So Jupiter will be only one exact opposition to Neptune on September 16th of this year, but will be square Saturn has already been square Saturn, August 3rd, again on March 23rd and May 26th. So the first square that's going to happen between Jupiter and Saturn will be in Leo, Scorpio, very close to Regulus. And then on March 23rd, it's going to be at 16 Virgo, about 1624 Virgo. And then on May 26th, it's going to be at 13 Virgo, 41, almost 14 Virgo, when Jupiter and Saturn are square. And then we'll bring this information in when we do the Saturn, because Saturn square Neptune is going to have three exact squares, and this is something we'll revisit when we do that class. But November 26th at around 7 Sagittarius and 7 Pisces, June 17th of 2016 at 12 Sagittarius and 12 Pisces, and September 10th, Saturn's at 10.5 Sagittarius and Neptune's at 10.5 Pisces. And so those are the ones that you wanted me to talk about, right?
Yeah, just so that the people can get the larger scope on this.
Right.
I'm sure that having the handout on it will be helpful, because we certainly can't expect everybody to remember this, just to get a sense of what a big part Jupiter in Virgo has to play in the larger unfolding drama here.
So this means that then there's a T-square that's actually probably, even though I gave exact dates when these things are happening, Jupiter's going to kind of be activating this opposite Neptune and square to Saturn, so that creates a bigger dynamic aspect that's going on over a long period of time. And then, of course, when planets come into Gemini, the moon passes through Gemini, it will create a little, at least for a short time, a grand cross that will be happening, and not as close as the one of 2013, but or 2014, but still, it's, you know, it'll be at play.
I want to thank you, Kaylin. I wanted to bring in another very intriguing feature of this Jupiter ingress into Virgo. To those of you that have been following this material for a while, know that we've made mentioned many times about how around 2011, 2012 is when the star Regulus became aligned with the sign of Virgo. So that the coordinates now of Regulus are like 0.0001 Virgo after several thousand plus years of being in the sign of Leo. And Regulus is the heart of the lion. Well, one of the things that I found really intriguing was that, again, back in that 1960s time period, Jupiter, like October 67, February 68, and June 68, Jupiter and Regulus were in a triple conjunction. That is to say that Jupiter and Regulus formed three exact conjunctions. And now what's intriguing about that is that if you look in the evening sky now, and we see the beautiful Jupiter and Venus in late Leo, and right as Jupiter moves into Virgo, basically that's the star Regulus. And Venus and Jupiter are like dancing right with Regulus. Venus retrogrades soon, right at that point. So it seems somehow the star Regulus is like the presiding stellar energy over the over this particular transit, and it's been building up for a while. I mean, the Jupiter through Virgo has been building up for a while. Related to this is the fact that Jupiter moves into Virgo at like exactly within a day or two. I mean, it's pretty close in these kind of things when Jupiter goes into the underworld.
Right.
Jupiter will be in the underworld from, meaning that it disappears from our vision. It will be with the sun, on the other side of the sun, August 13th through September 10th. So just as soon as it goes into Virgo, it disappears in the underworld. Now, it's very intriguing also that that means that Jupiter is in the underworld right at that point where it used to be that Psyche was in the underworld during that sacred festival of the feminine. Remember in August?
Yes, yes.
So there seems to be a very strong connection with this particular this ingress through Virgo to the mysteries of the sacred feminine here from a different direction. and that Jupiter, as soon as it goes into Virgo, is on the other side of the sun in the celestial underworld receiving guidance from the greater mystery that right before Jupiter comes back on the world stage as morning star
in September.
What date is it? Yeah, September. So there's so many interwoven mythic and visual dramas that are unfolding with this movement of Jupiter through Virgo. We emphasized very much the connection back to the events in the 60s is plenty new information that I hadn't even thought of, like the Venus Sun overtone, 47, 48 years ago. It's just this stuff is real, so.
It's really exciting. I mean, I just think about all of these factors that are coming together, that somehow there must be some sort of celestial grand design or grand plan or, sacred patterning thing that's like helping to reorient, above and below into a greater awareness of this, of the sacred patterning of life and how we can be more conscious participants with that, and that through our intention and our willingness to show up and be aligned with that, that we're helping to create the shift that's needed at this time in order for the planet to get on a different track.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just for the reference here, the centrality of there was an October 67 Uranus and Pluto right at the point that Jupiter entered into Virgo in October of 19th, 1967. Uranus and Pluto were at 25 Virgo and 21 Virgo, while Chiron was at 27 Pisces. So I think it's particularly to me that those are interesting degrees. 21, 25 Virgo, so that when Jupiter is hanging out in those degrees, I would suspect that would be the time when the most extreme or more dramatic or more melodramatic or more easily seen events will take place. Because there's always the expression of these events that have to do with expressed events. I mean, if you look back into what happened in 67, 68, 69, there were some very dramatic events that took place. I mean, both, the way our mind would look at it, both good and bad. I mean, everything from the landing on the moon to things as challenging and difficult in Shadowhaska, the assassination of really important American leaders, excesses of stuff that was happening in China in 1968, the Cultural Revolution, just really extreme stuff that relates to a lot of the things taking place in our world here today. So again, it's like a referendum on that time, where Jupiter is basically saying the answer is
the envelope,
expand Virgo. Expand Virgo. Take our refuge in Virgo.
You know, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but Jupiter was also conjunct Pluto on October 12th, 1968 at 23, almost 24 Virgo. So that's another punctuation point, like you were mentioning, on those degrees, to pay attention to those degrees.
Agree, absolutely. Yes. Right in that zone is like critically important when Jupiter is going back and forth over there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've covered all the maybe I would also mention one other thing. This is a somewhat unrelated to this larger scale of history, and that is whenever Jupiter joins together with Saturn. And this isn't always brought up, but it's certainly been my experience in working with clients over the years. But so this would be for like people with Saturn and Virgo. It's a person at Saturn and Virgo, and then Jupiter is moving up to hit Saturn and Virgo. I found that combination, Jupiter and Saturn, could be the other way around. You could have also the transit of Saturn hitting natal Jupiter. Mm-hmm. Either one of those, in this case Jupiter and Virgo hitting Saturn and Virgo, is one of the most useful and helpful and supportive alignments that can ever happen in the middle world. The expansive energy of your calling matches what the world needs to have done. It's as if those two planets together, particularly in Virgo, which is about the pattern, what the actual pattern is that when those come together, it's like it eliminates the excesses of too much Jupiter or too much Saturn. The excess of Saturn, if too much Saturn is too much limitation. If it's too much Jupiter, it's too much expansion.
Right.
So you put the two of them together and things work. Resources become available. So again, it like reminds me, it's like saying, those that have been just waiting for a time period to dedicate and commit themselves all the way to their calling and going for it, just to really risk it, you know. It's like that statement, it's not now, when? It's not now, when? Well, this is like saying, it's now. So this is covering, like, a number of sub-generation. Those with Saturn in Virgo. Those with Jupiter in Virgo. Those with the nodal axis in, you know, Virgo Pisces. Those with Chiron in Pisces. What I didn't get a chance to research, and it might be very interesting to see, what about those of you with Chiron in Virgo? That would be interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if people have Saturn in Virgo, or they have Jupiter in Sagittarius, then at some point Saturn in Virgo is going to have Jupiter cross it within the next year, and if they have Jupiter in Sagittarius, then sometime within the next 2 years, or maybe it's already started if it was in early degrees, they've got Saturn crossing it. So that's that coming together of Saturn and Jupiter and Jupiter and Saturn.
That's happening very much now with those who are 35, 36 in that zone.
Right. The people that have Jupiter and Virgo is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Saturn.
Oh, and Saturn. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Wait, because Saturn, wouldn't the people who have Saturn and Sagittarius be in their Saturn return? That's me. I'm in my second Saturn return.
Yeah, but so I'm thinking of like those born in 1980, 1981, and 1980, where there's Saturn in Virgo and Jupiter in Virgo.
Oh, okay. Right. Got it.
And then my generation is also Saturn in Virgo.
Right. Right, right, right.
Oh, so I basically have Jupiter moving up on top of my Saturn.
Oh, well, that's going to be really good for moving shamanic astrology along, right?
In all the different ways. It certainly feels that way, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome. Cool. So can you think of anything else? I was just wondering if you can think of anything else or if we should start opening it up for questions.
No, I think it might be a good time to try to get some discussion going here.
Okay. So let me just turn on the Q&A. And so if you have any questions, comments, insights, ahas, or even personal questions about your own chart or whatever, star 6,
yeah,
we'll put you in the queue. And so hopefully we're not getting anybody yet. So here's your chance, people. We're here to answer questions. Good. We've got something. Here we go. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't actually have a question.
Oh, man. I have wheel feedback.
Uh-oh. You're not getting it here. We're not getting it from your end.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
I have a comment because I have a south node in Virgo, I have Mars in Virgo, and I have Venus in Virgo. And they go 7 degrees, 20 degrees, and 28 degrees. So it's kind of like, whoa, is this going to be quite a year?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, so basically the Jupiter on transit is going to really give you an opportunity to cover all, I mean, it's like that's the whole range of Virgo, you know, so you have an opportunity to have an expansion of all those points.
Exactly. I'm like, wow. I'm so glad I was on this call today because I now know that I'm going to have to listen to this about 3 or 4 times and take some really good notes.
Yeah.
All the things that you guys were describing, even the seed point in 67 of the Uranus-Pluto, that was like at 16 or 17 degrees, and that conjunction. And then you were talking about the nodal thing that you're talking about that's going to be happening next spring or what have you. And it's like, wow, this is going to activate that again. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is a huge call.
Right. It is, isn't it? It's way
it
bigger.
It is.
We didn't even know when we started looking at this how big it was going to be till we were actually, you know, like doing it. So
my comment is really just thank you so much for linking all of this. It's like, wow, this is really a lot to ponder.
What comment, one thought I have while you're there and brought up about those three different Virgo points that are going to have Jupiter going across, you can look at it and say, yeah, that's expanding both Venus and Mars, you know, to a new level, a higher octave. But remember, I don't know your chart, I don't have it in front of me, but if there's any specific challenging complex to Venus or Mars, it will highlight that. So it's bringing out whatever the challenges are. If you have a Saturn or Pluto or Neptune thing. Also, Jupiter to the south node is an extremely interesting test because it can go either way. Jupiter on the south node can be a soul retrieval point. I mean, it could be where an element of your lineage that you haven't been using, you bring back in a good way. But if the south node has represented in your life an area of addiction or it's something you can't get out of. It's just like your core identity. You can't move past it. Then Jupiter hitting the south node can be one of those strange challenges where through success, one would choose to continue to do the same thing, and then a person would actually, things would actually get worse. I'm seeing 20 clients this week, but now all of a sudden I said 41 is being me. But if that is associated with the south node, well, then that would be a danger. You know, it would feel like success, but it's actually taking you down a road of too much expansion in a way that's not bringing delight and joy into your life. So these are just the little nuances to go into the evaluation of it.
Oh, thank you for that insight. I will keep my antenna up.
I also, Maggie, what Daniel was saying about if there's complexes to Venus or Mars, that Jupiter can expand that. And if you've been working with them and becoming empowered and not at the effect of those complexes, but getting the gifts that they have for you, then that gets also empowered. So, and you might have experience of both things happening too.
Right.
Where you feel a little bit challenged because you haven't completely 100% handled it, but you've handled it enough that you're also feeling empowered at the same time. The expansion of that empowerment of whatever that's meant to be for you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Like I say, I need to totally re-listen to this. There really seems to be a big key for me about that nodal access because 67, 68 were big years for me that really set a tone for the next, 45 years or 48 years.
Well, if you get some really great insights about that you would feel comfortable sharing with us, we'd love to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Do you also have Saturn in Virgo?
No, I have Saturn in Libra.
Okay, all right, okay, so you're the next, yeah, right, I just, that just would have been another factor also, never mind.
Right.
A little reprieve.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with that. At the same, right.
Not also. At this time, anyway.
Yeah, another time.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you, Maggie, that's really awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. And we're going to go to, I think this might be Emma. Is this Emma?
Yes, it is. Hi. This is fascinating. Right now, as I'm looking at the transits for today, I've been having Jupiter sitting on my south node. And I've been thinking for the last few weeks or so, I've been doing a lot of intensive work in pulling up old habit patterns that I want to modify or change to where they become more positive for me. And I had just completely forgotten about Jupiter being on my south node right now. What a perfect time to do it.
Woohoo!
And I'm looking ahead.
Yeah.
One of the things that really...
That's the best way of working with it.
Daniel is saying that's a really tremendous example and a really fabulous way of working with it.
Thank you. One of the things that really, really struck me deeply was when, Daniel, you were talking about the two mother signs, Cancer and Virgo. Cancer with the physical mother, the earth, the mother who takes care of her children, and Virgo, the mother who takes care of the earth. And I've often looked back on my life and think, ever since I was very young, I always had a love for plants, for growing, for taking care of animals, for these type of things. And so much that it influenced my whole life in so many of the things that I've done, not professionally, but the things that I've done as my charities and things like this. And I was looking at this coming up with Jupiter going through Virgo, and I'm really in great anticipation in the very near future of having my Neptune opposite Neptune.
Oh.
And now with Jupiter going over this and then finishing it off with going over my moon, I'm thinking, wow, I've really got to do some dreaming and some journaling.
Yeah.
That's so awesome, Emma.
Even in that grouping, we have another person in the school. She might even be listening on the call today. I don't know who's in her Uranus opposition. Sorry, Uranus return and Neptune opposition at the same time.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm doing too. So we must be in the same age group then.
Must be.
Yeah, I know. That's of course Joe. You know. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then I was looking at all of the potential and the possibilities coming up, and I'm looking at the 60s, listening to you two talk about the 60s and thinking about how we're mirroring so much of the 60s and how so much of the destruction of the earth really, really started in the 60s when we were in Vietnam and doing all this burning of everything and just, no, you know, Agent Orange, everything that was coming into play now. And now it looks like it's going to soon be coming back to roost. And now is going to be the time, I think, for us to start cleaning up the mess that we created 48 years ago.
Probably. That's what I meant. That's what I meant on the referendum on it. So at that particular time, the decisions went forward on that path, and the warnings were there at the same time. You know, so it's like both awarenesses were there. Both things were happening at the same time. So the current time period now is definitely the referendum on what's happened since then, and definitely on the roost. That's right.
Is there anybody else in the queue?
No.
Okay. I've just been introduced to the ION group. Are you familiar with them?
The Institute of Noetic Sciences?
Right. And I've been invited to their next meeting, and I'm going there, and they want me to talk about shamanic astrology.
Wonderful. Great. Fabulous. Absolutely good. I've spoken at one of their some years ago and have done workshops at some of their facilities. So beautiful. I'm very happy to hear that.
So it looks like this upcoming energy of Jupiter and Venus coming through Virgo is going to be a very exciting time. And I hope it is for the rest of the world, too. I look at it very positively.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, everything has its purpose, right? And when we're in resistance to that is when things are not so much fun. But when we understand what the purpose is and we can work with it consciously, then it's a lot easier. We may still have challenges, but it's a lot easier. So.
Well, I agree with the previous lady who I didn't catch her name,
Maggie,
that I am going to be listening to this over a number of times. There was so much information in this session. Well, they're all wonderful. I've just finished in the middle of transcribing the second Mercury session that we did this year, and I'm amazed at the things I didn't hear the first, second time that I listened to the class. So. Everything deserves repeating over and over again.
That's how we learn, too.
Yeah, it is. And thank you.
Emma, it's always a pleasure to have your wisdom and insights, and everything you share is wonderful, so thank you.
Yeah, Kayla, what she says is really, I mean, like, just you and I getting to do this, we learn new stuff just by talking about it.
Exactly. That's so true. Yeah, so that's a total gift. So we don't have anybody else in the queue, so I think maybe we can wrap it up. Is there anything you want to say in closing, Daniel?
Just that what came up for me as I was thinking about all of this is the way in which the Venus retrograde and Jupiter hanging out just at the degree or so before the ingress is just a fascinating imagery. It's another one of those things that takes us back to the triple conjunction of Jupiter with Regulus, you know, again, back in those years in the 60s. There's something about that, and something about then the diving of Jupiter into the underworld around the same time that Venus sun either goes under before she rises as morning star on the 22nd. There's something so powerful about that. I can only just get a sort of a glimmer, a taste of it. I think the type of astrologer that's looking at more events in the world, you know, like, well, what is it? But it seems to me like rather major things will be happening at that point. Caitlin, we do have another question here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just wondering, Jupiter in Virgo, based on history, you guys would know, does it ever give the Earth a break when Jupiter is in Virgo? And then, like, the chart of the Earth, and, you know, Harry. Like, the events happen that every time Jupiter in Virgo, something would happen for the Earth.
Well, it's a very fascinating because, you know, Emma said that it was during the Jupiter and Virgo time, highlighted by Uranus Pluto, which is what I would look at that, look there, is that really the really major wounding of the Earth was happening, like the Agent Orange and the destruction of so much of land and the beginning of the rainforest devastation and all of that. So but to me, I would look at that as more Uranus and Pluto, Jupiter extending that. That's a fascinating question. I don't know. I mean, it might be good to look and see when there were maybe some great breakthrough in the organic gardening. I wonder there would be some time period when a watershed was cleaned up, or when they removed dams, or something like that. That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
but I think that to look at it that way is very much within the purvey of shamanic astrology. It's like, yes, the Jupiter going through Virgo should be so when the Earth has to get the break. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So.
Well, that's what you do is love on her and honor her sacredness, and we'll try to as much as possible learn from her.
Something I want to tag on to what you were saying, Daniel, is about Jupiter and Venus both being in the underworld kind of together as we go into August and Venus to start her new cycle and Jupiter to basically start a new process in Virgo. And so when I think about the sun, I think of it as the source of life and light for planet Earth. Like, without the sun, we wouldn't have life as we know it here. So when these planets connect with the sun, the source, and it's in the underworld, we don't see them, but it's also this place of this infusion or this possibility of connecting with source in a whole new way. And then when they rise up in the morning sky, there's this, whatever they could have maybe gathered as information or a connection or understanding or download or something that happened in the underworld. So just another way of kind of imagining and working with that imagery as they connect with the source and to maybe source new ways of how we honor the earth and how we express our appreciation for the sacredness of the earth and how we show up to be in sacred relationship with the earth.
Yeah, and also, just to add on to that, it's actually both underworlds. You know, so Venus is on the inside track, and Jupiter is on the outside track.
Right.
So we got Jupiter on the one side of the sun, and we have Venus on the other, on the inside, between the earth and the sun.
Yep, and Venus getting and doing a whole shape shift into a new expression of the feminine.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And for those that with a really, really acute development of Virgo at its best, meaning on the mental side, let's say, inquiring minds wanted to know, it's not the case that in every, you know, it's not that rare. It is rare to have Jupiter going into the underworld at the same time as ingress into a different sign. That's only certain ones. That's not like the quote normal situation. So we don't always find it like this.
But it has been happening with more, you know, like more in the series, it seems like. And then I think it shifts. So I think the last few ingresses have been very close to the underworld. That's something we were noticing. You may remember, and we wanted somebody to do research on that to see what was going on with that.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I think
it's kind of like, well, I thought at first maybe it always happens like this. No, it's a phenomenon that happens every so often, and it's been happening this way recently. And the fact that it's so precise on this one is worth making note of.
Absolutely. I mean, if we look back at 1967, Jupiter went into Virgo on October 19th. So that is definitely not an underworld time. But there may be a period of time where Jupiter and the Sun, you know, as Jupiter's shifting into different signs, and then it shifts out of that period. So it's definitely worth our attention and our just what does that mean in terms of the new sign energy, being with the Sun going into the new sign energy. I think it's really significant.
And we did some really great original research on these synodic cycles of Vesta. We definitely need some more research done on the different patterning, the way the pattern of the Jupiter cycle is. It's synodic cycle, it's morning star, evening star, and underworld phase. So we certainly welcome anyone who wants to do research there for sure.
Absolutely. So it feels like we might be complete. There's no more questions. Nobody else has jumped in.
Okay.
All right. So we just thank everybody, and be sure and join us in August for the Venus-Mars webinar. We'll be talking a little bit more about Venus and her going into the underworld and reappearing in her new thing, and then how Venus and Mars are going to be dancing together. So we'd love to have you join us. And I guess that's it. Good night, and good luck.
Till the next class. All right, talk to you all soon.
Okay.
Kayla, hang on.